If you seriously need to save on groceries, and more for less is what you crave, Food City understands the struggle is real. That's why their high-quality store brands are such a great deal. Nobody does quality and savings like Food City.
Welcome back into the Eric Gaines Show. It's sunny and it's cold. I'm good with it, especially when all the sports we're playing right now, most of them anyway, are indoors. Like we are today, Brian, we're at Pals. What is PALS? What do people need to know here?
Personal Auto Locator Service is what it stands for, but they do more than just find you cars. That was kind of what they started with, was that they would you would come in and they would find you the vehicle you're looking for no matter where it is. They still do that. That is still a huge part of what they do here to make customers happy and make customers loyal for life. But also, great inventory and high-quality inventory available right here on the lot, and you can check out that entire inventory right now at PALS Knoxville, P-A-L-S, Knoxville.com. You can schedule an at-home test drive. You can get pricing on vehicles. You can even value your trade right now on the website at PALS Knoxville.com. And if you want to log on to the website, again, PALS Knoxville.com, or give them a call, 865-315-7000, 865-315-7000. And they'll get you rolling here at PALS. It's time for the 10 o'clock reset. That's thanks to our friends at Craven Wings. Here's what's coming up over the next 2 hours on the show. More on Tennessee's win over Florida. Chris Mack out at Louisville. The unsurprising news from Buffalo, their GM would like to see the league take a look at overtime rules.
Really?
He was asked the question. He didn't bring it up, so I'll at least give him credit for that. But, yeah. Stunning that he would like for them. I would like for them to relook at the rules, but he definitely would.
You know why that sucks? Because it's kind of like playoff talk. Whenever it's a sports talk thing, everybody does it at some point. What should NFL overtime look like?
Yeah,
the phones light up. Everyone has an opinion, and when it's all said and done, the four most common ones, it's like evenly split. It's not like it's a very simple thing to do. Everyone thinks differently.
Yeah. And we'll have Upset of the Week with Tyler Wyatt coming up at 11:30. A Lady Vols at Auburn preview as they play down there tonight. All that and more coming up over the next 2 hours, and something really big coming up in just a second. But that is the 10 o'clock reset. That's thanks to our friends at Craven Wings. Kids eat free Monday through Thursday at the South North Shore location. From the kids menu with the purchase of an adult meal, Craven Wings loves kids. They love to save you money. The cleanest, healthiest chicken available anywhere. I might load up Kelly and Coop and head down there.
Do it.
He's a kid. He can eat free.
Heck yeah.
He can eat the fries and leave.
It's only
chicken shrapnel everywhere.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
We have to tip a couple extra dollars.
Yeah. No, hey.
Maybe we've talked about this before. So if you try to clean it up. A lot of places they get offended that you're trying to clean up yourself. So then I have arrived, and if the rice has come rolling into your restaurant, Cooper's going to make a mess, and I'm going to leave you an extra tip because I've been told it's rude to try to clean it up ourselves.
You want to know? Well, and that's kind of true.
It makes us feel terrible
if you offer to the server.
Yeah.
Hey,
we always mention, hey, I'm sorry you made a mess.
I'm going to clean it up. I'll clean it up. Yeah. And then they'll say, no, don't worry about it. Because if you say that, it's almost like, no, thanks for offering, but it's really fine. You know, we're way more efficient. We've got
my manager's going to get mad if they see you doing it.
Yeah. So it's all good. And then after that, you give them a few extra bucks on the tip, and then it's all good. For all the people like us, Brian, that do that right way, 90% of people don't.
Yeah.
They just leave food everywhere, and they don't care. So if you give it any attention, they're like, thank you.
Yeah. So that's
I did pull this one time.
Reset. Yes.
So we did it one time, and the girl had brought the to-go boxes. And so I grabbed one of the to-go boxes and started picking the food up on the floor and putting it in there. And she was like, oh, do you need another to-go box? And I was like, no, I'm going to bring this home and eat this. And she looked at me like I was, if I really did that, crazy. And I was like, I'm just kidding. We just don't need an extra box. So I'm putting the stuff in here. She thought she was about to die. Eric Ainge is picking up the food scraps on the floor to put it in a to-go box to eat it at home. And I was like, that's what I said. There's a couple chicken nuggets in the truck right now.
Huh.
Yeah, they got violently thrown up at while I was driving. I was dodging them while I'm driving.
It happens.
Ramsey has a cannon.
Today, Eric Ainge, is the one-year anniversary of Tennessee hiring Josh Heupel. And going back and looking through some of the Twitter comments from the last from last year.
Did you see, was it Price, Austin Price? Did you see his?
Yeah. Oh, and then some of the response, because he had the initial tweet that Tennessee was turning its attention.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
There are a lot of people that were real unhappy with that.
I don't blame him for being unhappy, because it's like, looks like he's just hiring his buddy, right? But the optics weren't great. Come to find out, he is a really good football coach. Is he going to work here? I really hope so. Like, if Josh Heupel doesn't win here, it's not because he's a bad football coach. It's like a heritage situation. He gave it everything he had. It just didn't work. I fear that so much. I really like him. I think he's really good. But it's also one of those deals. You're like, all right, we got a good one now. So now what if it doesn't work? Then what do you do? I got to stop thinking like that, but how could I not at this point?
In 1 year, he completely turned around the offense. Now, the defense certainly needs work, and it has to be better. But completely turned around the offense from something that had no chance every time it went out onto the field to something that everybody was talking about around the country week after week.
Dude. We got every Saturday after the Missouri and South Carolina games. Who was first? Missouri was first. South Carolina was first. I can't remember.
Missouri was first.
They were back to back. They were back to back. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's Missouri first. Every day on game day, on college game day, because you know my opinions on that. There's a lot of other things you can do and stuff. When that's on, college football fans that are in front of a TV, that's what's on the TV.
Yeah.
And they talked about us every single Saturday after that. It wasn't always great, you know, but it was Tennessee took Alabama into the fourth quarter, and then Tennessee took Georgia into the second half, and look at these wins. They were talking about us, and it was never negative. It wasn't always overtly positive,
yeah,
but it was never negative, and we were on TV every Saturday. That has not happened in a long time.
Yeah.
Because it's always been like ups and downs, you know, like Pruitt's second year when we won the games at the end of the year. That end of the year run for the last month or so, we were on game day. We were. And then we were also on game day to start because, you know, played Georgia State and butt fumbled a defensive coverage to losing to BYU. But it wasn't all positive then. Last year, it was pretty positive. That's a good thing. That helps get grad transfers. That helps get recruits. It helps you kind of know where you're at. They don't spend time on things that are a non-topic.
So. Yeah.
I think he did a good job. Now everybody knows he's good. His job really starts this now. Because if all the other coaches get a year zero, his year zero was really, really good. So now you start evaluating it just enough. I mean, it's going to be a long process for him. At least I know he doesn't care what you and I think. That's important.
No, having a coach that really just doesn't care what is said in the media Jeremy Pruitt didn't care a ton, but there were people around him that cared a lot. And I'm not sure Jeremy Pruitt could have pulled us up on his app. Not sure he would.
On an app?
I'm not sure he would know how to do that.
An app is a pre-meal to him still. Like, there's no way he knows that's another thing.
Apps don't go on your phone. Applebee's apps are what you get at Applebee's.
Yeah, man. 2 for $5. Woo!
Late night all.
Love that chicken. Woo!
It's the success is great, and I am pumped about the success they've had on offense. I think it will continue. I think Josh Heupel's a good coach. What I am most excited about, though, is that there is a normal human being who is capable of normal interactions with other people leading Tennessee's football program. I realize that is an incredibly low standard, but when you have dealt with what Tennessee's dealt with its last two head coaches, somebody who is able to look you in the eye and have a conversation with you about something other than defense play good is refreshing. and it bodes well for this succeeding long term.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like the things he does and the manner he does them provides a sense of consistency and normalcy. I think all the great coaches do that. Listen, schematically, I would be a phenomenal coach. Getting guys pumped up, I'd be a phenomenal coach. I, as a human, am very – I have a bipolar approach to life, and I am not very consistent, and I'd be a crappy coach because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Lane Kiffin sucked early. He was all over the place. He got a little older, got a little more consistent, and now he's a good coach. Josh Heupel is that guy that shows up at the same time every – like, it's old school, but it's, you know, Cutcliffe. You know, like, I knew based on what time of the day, on what day it was, not only that he was going to be there, but what room he would be in. You know what I mean? It's like he couldn't play hide and seek. He was such a creature of habit. He was always in the same spot at that time on that day in this part of the year. Like, it was take it to the bank. Fulmer was the same exact way. Like, I just think that that's what good coaches do. I feel like Josh Heupel provides that consistency. And he's never too up, never too down. You know, that's otherwise you get a team that upsets somebody or scores 28 nothing in the first quarter, and then they start feeling themselves, and then they go drop games they shouldn't have dropped. Our guys didn't do that. They didn't win some games. You know, they could have won the Ole Miss game or whatever. But for the most part, it didn't change who they are. You know, like our basketball team is like that. Embarrassing win, embarrassing loss, whatever it is, they don't wholesale change anything. They show back up and they do it again. Rick Barnes is the kind of guy, like, he's that kind of guy. I think Tony Vitello even is. He's young, and I haven't seen him do it, like, firsthand a lot. But from everything I can gather with him, I'm describing Karen right now, for sure. Like, creature habit, same stuff, hitting the same points, hammering it home. That's how you play. That's how you win at a high level in sports.
Yeah.
If it's different every time you show up, you can have a player like that or two. But even that's frustrating. You know, you can get a guy like Meacham, if you can get him the ball in the first quarter, he's a first-team All-American, first-round draft pick. If it's the middle or end, almost halftime, and he hadn't caught a ball yet, you might as well sit him on the bench for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
He's not connected. He's, you know, disassociated from what's happening. Like, all those players, they crave and need structure bad. And I feel like Heupel can provide that. I don't know a ton about all the other guys on the staff. Well, no, I do. Willie Martinez is that guy. Yeah, I don't know if Brian Jean Mary is. You would imagine he'd only hire guys like that, right? I mean,
yeah.
They're quote-unquote football guys, and that's what they do.
Yeah. But they're also, I think with his staff, they're also relationship guys. I think that's why recruiting is going to have to pick up. But you saw guys on that staff in this recruiting cycle go to territories where they had a lot of relationships and sign guys. And fairly highly rated guys from those territories, guys they had relationships with. Now they're building relationships more in the state of Tennessee, but ultimately are just going to try to find the best players they can at wherever the location is. So, yeah, to be football guys but also relationship guys are good. We'll come back. Big news coming out of the NFL this morning. We'll tell you what that is coming up next as we return to Pals on the Eric Haines Show.
We're back. We're back. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. We're at Pals, Personal Auto Locator Service. Again, sales and service right here. If they don't have what you need back there on the lot, they can find it for you.
Officially, Ben Roethlisberger is retiring from the NFL. He posted a farewell video to Pittsburgh this morning. 18 seasons in the NFL, 2 Super Bowl victories. A lot of wins in the interim, a lot of injuries in the interim, but as expected, he has made it official with a video this morning.
I thought that he would suck a long time ago because when he won Super Bowls, the whole reason he's Big Ben is because you couldn't sack him. He'd be in the pocket, collapsed, and there'd be a guy with 2 hands around his waist, and he could push the guy off, and they just couldn't. He was so big, they couldn't tackle him. And then he would just scramble and make ridiculous plays. That part of his game, when his body operated as a young NFL quarterback, he was about as good as anybody. But that goes away, and I always thought once he can't do, you know, break all those tackles and run around anymore, he's going to be terrible. And that wasn't true. He was still a stat leader and won tons of games. He didn't win any more Super Bowls, but that doesn't mean you're not playing at a high level.
Yeah.
I thought what he looked like this last year is what he would have looked like 5 or 6 years ago. So 18 years, that's incredible.
He has been one of the most remarkably consistent quarterbacks over that time as well.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah. So he officially hangs it up today. What does Pittsburgh do next? Do they go complete rebuild? Do you try to get a veteran guy? Do you try to trade for somebody? Or is it full rebuild guy? Because they have tried to bring in a couple of guys over recent years to be the next guy, and that really hasn't panned out, at least at this point.
Well, now that he's gone, he's not an option. So that's the good part. You know, because I don't blame Mike Tomlin for always being like, well, he's here, he's the guy. You know, they have a couple draft picks on the roster right now that I don't know. If I'm an NFL team that needs a quarterback, I'm trying to go throw the world at Russell Wilson. He doesn't want to be in Seattle anymore. Mm-hmm. He's alluded to it, but he's too classy to like be flamboyant or demand it. Yeah. So, but if I needed a quarterback, no matter what team I was, I would go try to get him.
Pittsburgh would be a good place for him because you're selling to him. We have a coach who's been here forever, who's going to be here, and we have a roster that is pretty good and was ready to, I mean, was in playoff contention through the last weekend of the regular season. We play in a division where a quarterback can elevate us to instantly being better than the other teams in our division.
Yeah.
You're going to be better than Cleveland. Baker Mayfield has a lot of questions. Lamar Jackson is pretty good in Baltimore, but you're going to have a chance to be better than them. And then, you're also the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, got it. Now, Joe Burrow's in your division. That's a challenge.
And the Bengals are good. And, yeah, but, I mean, if I'm Russell Wilson looking at the Steelers, I'm not afraid of Joe Burrow and the Bengals. I'm Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And the Steelers. You know what I mean? Like, they are young and they are hot. And they are, and Joe Burrow is the next best thing in the NFL for sure. But, there's a lot of options. There's a lot of guys that need quarterbacks in the NFL. A lot.
Yeah.
You know, and Lamar Jackson, you mentioned him. Lamar Jackson is one more bad year in a row away from his brand completely changing. He was hurt a bunch this year. And a lot of people would look at that and say, that's an excuse. And I would say it's not, because what makes Lamar Jackson an MVP is his athletic ability. Mm-hmm. Him throwing the ball in the pocket is not why he won an MVP. It's the total package. So if he has a sprained ankle or a torn meniscus or one of those things that's not enough to keep you from playing, but it changes your ability to move, then I think he's going to struggle. He needs to learn how to play like that anyway, because that eventually is going to leave. Like, remember Atlanta Mike Vick versus Philly Mike Vick?
Completely different players.
Totally different players.
Philly Mike Vick could run, but did. Vince Young's is a similar example. Vince Young, once he got to the NFL, was a guy who could run, but you weren't asking him to run. And that,
a secondary option.
Yeah, and he did a pretty good job of developing himself into a pretty good passer. Now, injuries and some other things changed that as he went along. I think his own decision-making, he'll tell you, played a big role in that.
For sure.
Tailing off. But up to that point, he had remade his game to be a pass-first guy. Or a pass-first guy, excuse me. Lamar Jackson, I think, has to get there. And I think he can. He needs to speed that up a little bit, because the speed and elusiveness is not where it was as a rookie.
He needs to spend the entire offseason going, okay, let's assume that I'm going to sprain my MCL in week one and get a high ankle sprain in week eight.
What do I do?
How do I play at the highest level possible? And you need to train him like he has brick feet. And he's going to stand in that pocket, and he's going to throw the ball. He's going to manage the run game. Because a lot of the, like, it's rampant in college football, but if you get an athletic quarterback, they stop teaching you to manage the run game, and they make you the run game. Right? You are. In high school, they do it. It's like you don't know what to do. Well, if the kid can run, put him out there, because worst case, we can always just have him run. That doesn't win games. teach Lamar Jackson how to go up to the line of scrimmage and call two different run plays and know which one to get into. And zone this side, zone that side, and have him start faking the boot, not faking the keep the ball. Like, they need to do some stuff to teach him how to play in the pocket. And if he does learn how to do that, because he's got a good arm and he is accurate when he knows what to do with it, they need to take those next steps. Because what happened to him this year is, next thing you know, you can't run, you're trying to play, and you live in 3rd and 7 to 3rd and 11. That is Peyton Manning, Tom Brady suck in 3rd and 11. Everybody does. So Lamar Jackson is definitely going to. I would for sure change. They kind of changed the whole plan, their whole offense when he got there, and that was good. They needed to go back to the old offense now and teach him how to do all that stuff too. That's what I would say. And then he'll be good again.
Yeah.
Make Lamar great again. Teach him how to play in the pocket.
Let's go to the phones and talk to Scott. Scott, you're on the EA show. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good.
Good. Hey, guys. Forgive me, first of all, if you've already covered this. I've not been able to listen in a while. I'm a truck driver. Anyway, back to, let's do a reverse for a minute. Back to the Steelers quarterback situation. I mean, Josh Dobbs, I don't even know his status right now, but, you know, he was at Pittsburgh, and then they let him go to where, Jacksonville, and then they bring him back. If he's not going to play, I've not heard any talk across the nation that I go that he's going to play Josh, and if he's even still there, let's do it. But, I mean, what's the deal, you know? And I've not got good service, so I'm going to hang up and listen to you on the FM. Thanks for the show, guys.
We appreciate it. Here's with Josh Dobbs. He was on injured reserve this past year, coming off of the practice squad. He's not somebody that they look at as somebody who can take over the team there. One of the reasons why Dobbs has continued to come back to the Steelers is that he is a good community guy, one, but two, he's a smart guy who's capable of running a lot of practice squad things, of giving them a lot of different looks on the upcoming opponent. He's capable of learning the opponent's offense in a week to the point where he can execute it in practice and give them that good look. I don't know what his long-term future will be in Pittsburgh in that role. There are some limits on how long he can be on the practice squad and things like that. It's a much longer limit than it used to be. But he's somebody that they've evaluated that I don't think that they have long-term plans for in the starting quarterback role. Mason Rudolph was kind of in the same situation. They drafted him and brought him in to be the heir apparent, and then he had to play with Roethlisberger out a couple of times over the last couple of years, and it didn't work out well. So I don't think that they look at Mason Rudolph in that role as much anymore either. That's been kind of the curious thing in Pittsburgh, is they've tried now two or three times to draft a guy to be the next guy, and it just hasn't panned out when they've had the opportunity because of Roethlisberger's injury history. So I'll be interested to see how they want to proceed here, if they want to trade for a veteran guy and then draft somebody in this class. This is not a deep quarterback draft class, at least among guys that I think are going to have a chance to be long-term starters in the NFL. I've been wrong about that before. The Mitch Trubisky class was one of them. Trubisky was the best of the bunch, and then he's been the worst of the bunch in the NFL so far. So there's a lot that goes into it, but I don't think Dobbs is in their long-term plans as a contender for that starting role. I think he's more of a team practice squad kind of guy that he's made a very, very good living doing exactly that. We'll come back. More of the Eric Cain Show is coming up next. We're coming to you live from Powell's Personal Auto Locator Service right here on Callahan Drive, just off the interstate, right in front of UPS. Come and see their selection here, and you can check it out online, palsknoxville.com. The Eric Cain Show rolls on next.
Well, breaking news in the NFL, Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger has announced that he is retiring from football. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Denver Broncos are hiring Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett to be their next head football coach. Last night inside Thompson Bowling Arena, number 18th ranked Tennessee took down Florida 78-71. The Vols moved to 5-3 in SEC play. Santiago Vescovi led the Vols with 23 points, and Kennedy Chandler added 17. In college basketball last night, number 17 Providence held on late to take down number 21 Xavier. VCU upset number 25 Davidson 70-68. And in the SEC, number 19 LSU took down Texas A&M 70-64. They're designing hardscape, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscape designer. They're ready to turn your home or business outdoor space into reality. Your new outdoor space awaits. Dana Design and Hardscape, making backyard dreams come true. Schedule a consultation today at nativetn.com. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Welcome back into the EA Show, 656-9900, 866-656-9900, if you want to join us. Let's go to the phones at 656-9900. More on Tennessee hoops coming up shortly. Woody is up next. Woody, you're on the EA Show. Good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. I want you to help me understand all this recruiting and transfer portal and the NIL stuff.
Okay.
It looks to me like the big gunslingers like Texas and Texas A&M. So these schools that's got more money than Fort Knox are going to have a huge advantage. And it may be why we lost that Wyoming receivers was what I'm hearing. But, of course, we've got some very wealthy boosters here. They're going to obviously have to step up the plate. And one thing that bothered me, of course, Bruce Pearl is a tremendous recruiter. And Auburn's got some big guys like the guy that owns Yellowwood and the big banker down there and all that. But how did they slip that kid from North Carolina out from under – you know, Rick Barnes is supposed to have a lot of connections in North Carolina. How did they get that guy away from us? We could use him desperately. The big center, the big 7-foot center at Auburn.
Yeah, Walter Kessler. I would not necessarily. So here's the thing that I would start with. Every time a recruit picks somewhere other than Tennessee or other than anywhere, I don't think you can rush right into. It was an NIL deal that put him over the top. Just like I don't think it was always fair in years past to say when a kid went to a school that the booster's check cleared and was bigger than the one that any other school was offering. I think in having been around recruiting when I worked at UT a lot, it's a lot of these kids just want to know how they're going to be developed to play at the next level because they all want to play at the next level. The ones that realistically are surefire when they're playing in high school, you know they're going to be an NFL player. Some of them may be interested in some of that stuff on the side, but it's kind of like uniforms used to be. Yeah, uniforms got attention. The kids that are serious about being professional athletes are going to look at that as the 10th or 11th thing on their list if everything else is equal, but they want to know first how you're going to develop them. I think with Auburn, in developing big men, I think they have done a better job of developing big men in recent years. Tennessee's put a lot of players in the NBA in recent years. But I think when you're looking for as a true center, you like what Bruce Pearl's system has produced a little more. And I think that went into it as much. With NIL stuff now, you know, certainly Texas A&M has made a lot of headlines because they have a lot of businesses down in the College Station area that are willing to say, you know, we're going to be competitive. We're going to offer you a package. We're going to, you know, when you come here, which they're not even supposed to do this, but it's happening, so it is what it is. If you come here, you're going to have a huge NIL deal. I think that is going on in a lot more places, and I won't assume that it's just NIL in most cases. There are some that we've heard about. I don't know about with the receiver from Texas. I don't know what – or the receiver from Wyoming that ends up going to Texas. I think a lot of it is he may have just found himself in a better situation there. That's somebody who's leaving a smaller school after balling out because they see a professional potential. And I think for him, more so than it being about money, it was what's going to get me to the NFL. Now, if I'm looking at that, I'm seeing what Josh Heupel's done with a transfer receiver this past year. And I've seen what he's done in developing Velus Jones Jr., and I think that's a great opportunity. But he saw the opportunity to go to Texas as a little better. So I just think you have to look at it on a case-by-case basis, but I don't think in general Tennessee is at any type of disadvantage when it comes to NIL opportunities or money, and I don't think necessarily that was what cost them the receiver in particular from Wyoming.
What concerns me, Brian, is like I don't see our basketball team getting much better if we can't get in a portal somewhere and get us a 4 and 5, some big, tall, muscular inside guys.
Well, I would say I would say this, and Eric, I want your thought on this too. When you look at the rotation of guys that are playing right now, with the exception of Kennedy Chandler, who I expect to go to the NBA after this year, with the exception of him and John Fulkerson, everybody else that's playing in the rotation now is coming back next year. And I think that is a tremendous advantage that they have, particularly somebody like Euros, who if you had told us in November or December that he'd be playing a big role in January, we would have laughed at you. But now he's developed and he is better. I think you consider him getting better. Then a couple of big men that they are redshirting right now. Jonas Adu is one. He's a 6'11 guy who they're putting some weight on. Brandon Hunley Hatfield's going to continue to develop. He's not being redshirted, but he's not playing a huge role. And then, you know, a couple other guys on the roster I think are going to have an opportunity to really make a move this offseason, where I don't think going to the transfer portal is something that they're going to do in basketball this year.
I don't know that they have to. I mean, I think they have some really talented guys, like you just said, that are coming back. And, you know, of all the names you mentioned, Huntley Hatfield might be the one that I'm the most excited about, because the guy is – he reclassified to be here. He could still be in high school if he wanted to. He's here. He's huge. And he plays strong already. He has no idea what to do. And I know, you know, it's like, oh, it's basketball. It should be, you know, it's not – that's true in pickup. You know what I mean? Like, if you're at the gym with your buddies getting up and down to get a sweat in, then, yeah, he would already be playing like a 4 or 5-star player. But that's not how it works. You have to know exactly when you need to be where to set a ball screen. What do you do? Are you pick and pop? You can't shoot, so if it's pop, you got to catch it and know where the backside cut's going. So it's catch, zip, and you can get the assist. And if you are Huntley Hatfield, you catch the ball – and then you think about it, oh, and he's not open anymore. I don't blame Rick Barnes for not wanting to play a guy like that as much. But you're not getting as very much at all out of Fulkerson, and so that's kind of going to be baptism by fire there. Throw him out there, sink or swim. And listen, that doesn't affect my opinion on him long term, but,
yeah,
you know, he's gonna have to play. Hey, Vescovy was our point guard 2 years ago as a freshman. And he was nowhere near as athletic and strong as he is now. Like, he is for sure the international game. We've wiped it off him, and he's playing like a guy that's under a squat rack and doing push-ups and getting himself in great shape. He was a point guard. He was kind of out of shape, came in at last minute, and he's not a point guard. And we made him play point guard. That's I remember watching him do that, and I was like, well, I'm not going to judge him off, you know, this for the rest of his career. But I do think it's really impressive that he's playing out of position, showed up late, and is not in game shape, and he was able to hit 6 threes against LSU in his first game. And now he's our leading scorer, and he's the most valuable player on our team, and it's not close. So, you know, look at Euros. Everyone wants to see the one-and-done guy. If they come in and they already look ridiculous, like even Keon and Jaden, looking back on it, when you compare them to like 5-star Kennedy Chandler, those two dudes were way further ahead than he is right now. But that's what we want to see. And then there's all these other guys that we write off, like after a year or two. Like I have written off Euros.
Yeah.
I had written him off. Like, to me, name on the roster, name not on the roster. He's a bench guy. He's going to rah-rah and cheer for people.
He plays some of those games in November, and you're like, why is he even out there? Why?
Yeah,
are you doing
what are you
that?
Doing, dude? Yeah. But, like, the light bulb clicks.
Yeah.
And now he's playing. He's playing really well.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can knock Rick Barnes for stuff. There's not usually a lot to, but, like, if you want, you can find it. You know, me hammering him for the first month and a half of the year saying, all we're going to see is zone. And we don't have an answer. Well, we do now. Teams have to play us man-to-man again. We're knocking threes down. We're not shooting a million of them. We're not ruining everything. So I think Rick Barnes develops players to the skill set that they not only need – to make them successful for his team, you know, you got to get them ready to play for you. So you got to get them ready to play for you, but not at the expense of their overall development. It's a very fine line. It's skill that most don't have. And, you know, I always give it to him, the entire staff that they have there. They do a great job. Like, I'm not worried watching Huntley Hatfield play because he looks lost and looks like a freshman, and he doesn't look like he knows what to do. He doesn't, and he is lost, and he is a freshman.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I wouldn't, you know, don't come talking about those freshmen, right? Don't be disrespecting me, bro.
Anthony Hardaway.
Thanks,
Benny. Can't talk about his players, right? Don't be disrespecting me, bro.
Woody, we appreciate it. I didn't mean to just poo-poo all over your thoughts because I see how you get there. I also think that player development has been what Rick Barnes has been known for his whole career. And when you look at guys like, I mean, Grant and Admiral are great examples where they weren't NBA players as freshmen or sophomores, but by the time they were juniors, they had developed into guys who were ready to be picked in the NBA draft and were. And so I think with what is out there right now for Tennessee, Kenny Chandler adds an extra element. You're going to have to try very hard to replace him next year. But I think beyond that, you know, B.J. Edwards is coming in, a guy from Catholic that plays point guard. Is he going to step in and be Kennedy Chandler next year? No. But he's a guy that places that spot in the roster, and you have a lot of really talented guys that, assuming they come back, are coming back.
I'm not even worried about point guard. We just talked about Vescovy is a two guard for sure, who brings the ball up even now often.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even if you have to go, well, we don't have anybody ready. Hey, Vescovy, we're moving you back, buddy. You're the point guard again. He'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
And he'd be fine at it.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. More of the Air Canes shows coming up next. We wrap up this hour on the other side, live from Pals on the EA Show.
Welcome back into the Air Canes show right here at Pals, right here off Callahan, on the way to Pal. We're at Pals. Two different Pals. Personal auto locator service. That was my dad joke of the day, you guys.
Very nice.
I'll be here till noon. Not a big deal.
Very nice. 656-9900. Let's talk to Doug. Doug, you're on the EA show. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Just to anybody that doubts Coach Barnes, I've called him before and said my daughter was a 4-year dancer at UT, and we had season tickets the 4 years she was there. And Coach Barnes came in, and to watch the development of number 11, Kyle Alexander, was one of the best sports stories I've ever watched, personally. That kid, he ran like Eric Ainge when he got there.
But, and he ran better than me when he left.
Exactly. But, I mean, they were so dependent on him the last couple of years. And that just showed me Coach Barnes's way of developing kids that – and Brian just mentioned Grant and Admiral. They were the same, but I think that Kyle was a more extreme example of what Coach Barnes can do with a kid.
I failed to mention him, but Kyle Alexander, absolutely. He came in as a – he was 100% a project when they brought him in. And he listened and did everything that they said and developed and worked out the way he said, and ends up being a guy who's played professional basketball. Like, that is a great example.
Yeah, we always forget that one. That's,
and there were times
bringing
that,
it up.
Just like that, that he was written off because he's just a guy. But he wasn't. They kept working with him, and they kept pushing him, and then he ends up playing a huge role.
You know, like, we don't – it doesn't matter what sport, and it doesn't matter how old. Development is only possible if you're capable of identifying what is keeping them back. If you can identify the thing, that exact thing that keeps them back, no different, like, in school, it doesn't matter, anything. What is holding you back, son? If you can find that, because they're not going to be able to tell you, and they can give you information that helps a little bit sometimes, but you have to identify that. If you identify that, then it's not that hard to put a plan together to develop somebody. That part of it's actually easy. The thing that Rick Barnes does that most good college coaches don't do, they can't identify the thing. And if you identify it, then you can fix it. And then you end up getting Kyle Alexander. You can identify what's, even if it's a Grant Williams or an Admiral, they're great. What's keeping them from the next level of great? Mm-hmm. You can always get better. So for the really good players already, it's really little things, right? You know, really little things. Oftentimes when it's a player that you don't see having success yet, it's a big thing. Something about their life, and that needs to matter too, their psyche, their basketball ability, their work ethic. It's hard to always identify what that is. But when you do, the plan to get them there is not that hard.
Yeah.
But he identifies it every time. Like, I guarantee, after having Euros for a little bit,
Rick Barnes and his staff, they knew what the issue was. Some guys can fix it in 6 months. Some guys can fix it in 2 or 3 years. But once you do, then this happens. That the light bulb we always talk about, the light bulb moment happened. That means the coach identified what the problem was, addressed it, the player bought in, and over a course of time, you wait for it at that point, and you're Rick Barnes on the bench. Every time the game starts, you're going, I wonder when you're – it's coming, guys. It's coming. And then Euros, it comes on. And then if you are naturally a good player, it never leaves. That's just who you are. So like Kyle Alexander, took him forever. I bet they identified what it was. And it took a long time for them to develop him into that moment. The light bulb goes off, and he ends up being an all-conference caliber player with who's going to play in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, Grant Williams was this undersized, real tough guy. He was a first-round draft pick. Like that, he can identify it. Like I'm still waiting. Like Kennedy Chandler's pretty good. And I'm saying pretty good. I don't think he's great. I think he's pretty good. And I guarantee there's something that they know he needs to do, and if he could learn that, then he would look like they did it for Springer and Johnson last year. It's about midway through the year. You're waiting for him to really pop, and then back-to-back games, they both score like 30. You know, and you're like, ding, ding, ding. You know, and then Rick Barnes is over there licking his chops. He's like, all right, now we're ready. Like, if he has 3 or 4 guys on this team right now that you're waiting for that moment to come, if they come close to each other in a season, you got a chance to end up being 10 times better than you even were to start that year. That's how you do it. Development, you got to identify what's holding them back.
Final hour of the Eric Show kicks off with Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. It's coming up next as we return to Pals Personal Auto Locator Service, PALSKnoxville.com, to check out the full selection. Schedule an at-home test drive, value your trade, so much more. Final hour of the Eric Show's next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.